making the choices, but God, it's about renewing, it's about strengthening and moving forward with a relationship with you that allows us that opportunity and privilege to be able to be so close to you that, as Scripture says, when we pray what we ask for, you'll give us because we're praying according to your will. And God, that's a relationship that is so close. And God, we ask for that as we continue to study even tonight and some of the measures of spirituality. And Lord, I just pray that you allow us the openness, allow us the wisdom in our minds and our open heart that we can be able to talk through and realize some of the areas maybe in our own lives that we need to reflect on and maybe we need to work with. And God, we just lift it all to you and we pray for the results in your son's name. Amen. All right, jump back into James real quick. We're going to use one of the verses from this morning to springboard off into our study tonight. And it's very interesting because when we talk about the tongue and we talk about the power of words and we talk about the struggles it is to tame it and all those things are so important. But what I want to dig in a little deeper is what the Bible defines as bad speech or how deep does that go? Because you and I, as Christians, we realize that there is language you don't use. You don't take the name of the Lord in vain. You don't say certain things or you don't judge in certain ways. And some of the things are obvious. But when you do is, I did a little bit of an in-depth study on some of these, and I went to some other areas of Scripture, as I mentioned this morning, even Proverbs 26, and we're going to end up there tonight, but there's a couple verses in between. But when you look at it, it's amazing how the Scripture laid out in ways that I think we need to really get a hold of, because I really think we allow ourselves probably to be our tongue is used more to hurt people than what we realize. Because I don't know too many people who intentionally and viciously will attack you with their words. There are people out there like that. There are people out there that no matter what you do, you can't please, and they're going to let you know. And there's just some people out there that have a real issue with controlling their tongue. But what we need to look at, and again, because I thought through, okay, I know the crowd here, and I know everybody listening, and, you know, we work at that. We really want to, and I can't think of anybody here that would viciously come out and attack somebody with their words. Now, even in the heat of anger, sometimes you may say something you wish you had back, or you may say it in a way that you wish it didn't come out the way it did, and I mentioned that this morning. That's one of my downfalls. Sometimes I just let it rip. Instead of thinking about things, and it comes out wrong. And so, or even the timing in saying something. Maybe what you said is truth, and what you said is needed to be said to a person, but the timing in which you said it was completely wrong, therefore it created a nightmare. It didn't do what you intended it to do. I think anything said in love to someone that needs to hear it, God will allow that opportunity, and God will allow the moment of opportunity to where it serves its purpose. But we're not always the one to determine that, or the timing and the opportunity. And so, you know, we really need to start praying for, if we know something needs said, and we see somebody or a younger babe in Christ, you know, the stronger are to help the weaker, correct? That's what Scripture says. Well, how do we do that? Many times through my life, it's been more of a, hey, by the way, completely out of the blue, or, you know, you're invited over, you're invited somewhere, and, you know, you think, wow, this is really great, you know, we're building a relationship, and then they lay something on you. The only reason they invited you is so that they can hammer you. You know, you butter them up to swallow them whole kind of thing, you know. And so we've all experienced that, I'm sure, somewhere in our lives, and from different people. So I wanted to look at this because from James chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setting on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." That verse sort of started the process of going further, going and studying it a little bit different. And so in that verse, one of the words is quite interesting. Somebody defined it as a word that would state a definition of someone, and we get the conversations that shouldn't happen. But sometimes it even states through that definition of that word, iniquity, and also going on the tongue of many members is defileth. Those definitions deal with someone who has an opinion, who will state their opinion because their opinion is always right. That should pretty much include all of us sometime or another. Sometimes we state an opinion in such a way that we state it so that we just want our opinion known. And that's what James was facing, as we mentioned this morning, in the synagogues when they gave the time, does anybody want to say something? Well, they were jumping up like popcorn, and they were just showing what they know. They were boasting in what they knew. And James says, no. That's not what that's for. You got to be careful when you teach the word of God. So sometimes the intent or the content of that is, even if you just give your opinion when it's not asked for, that's just as bad as anything else that tongue of yours can do. Because sometimes your opinion stated at the wrong time, the wrong place, and not being asked for, will destroy and devour a young spiritual person. And that's when it becomes, to me, that's when it flips over to judgmental. How do we know the difference between somebody who's judging me or trying to creatively show me that there's some errors in what I'm doing? And that's a fine line, isn't it? Man, there's such a fine line in making that distinction and that difference. Jim? And it is. We live in a world, and some people just ride that nerve waiting for things to happen. And I can remember people saying, even in ministry, that I found that there are some people who need to say things to bring you down to their level so that they look better. And there's people out there like that. They'll cut you down. They'll say things. They'll put you on a plane. Well, you think you can handle that, or you think you could do this. And, I can remember one time somebody telling me that, boy, you got five kids, and you might as well figure on the odds are some of them are going to just not want anything to do with God. And they were little young kids. And I'm like, really? Like, how do you know that? Well, later on found out that their children were like that. And so they wouldn't accept the fact that their possibility could be other families that have children who didn't do that. And so they bring you down to a point so that they don't look so bad. And see, all the ways that we communicate, all the ways that we converse, we're actually allowing our tongues to destroy. Because it destroys people, it destroys relationships. And so how do we go from that understanding? Go to Proverbs chapter 16 first. We're first going to look at Proverbs chapter 16. If you do a study in Proverbs at all, you know that Proverbs is about the book of wisdom. Solomon wrote it, and whenever you see her, whenever it talks about other things about listen to her or listen to the father and all those, it's talking about wisdom. So the one word that basically umbrellas all the Proverbs is wisdom. And so, but chapter 16, beginning in chapter 16, is quite interesting because from chapter 16 to chapters 22-16, that whole context, or that whole theme, is simply exalting righteous living. So everything within chapter 16 to chapter 22, if you want to know, okay, I'd love to do a study on how God looks at my life and how he would want me to treat others and how he would want me to live my a right life, do a study on Proverbs 16 through 22, verse 16. Because that study, and it's full of one-liners, it's full of context, it's full of topics, and it'll get you an understanding of, okay, this is what God expects of me. And some of the illustrations are going to not fit with where you and I understand illustrations to be. But again, the time that it was written, this all makes sense to them. And so we need to realize that whenever you study scripture, you have to remember, you got to get into their culture. You got to get into their understanding. Because we Westerners try to define an Eastern illustration, we're going to mess it up. Because we only have so much understanding what that means. So we're going to see some of that as we go through this. But in chapter 16, it begins the concept of the right living or the righteous living. And from that concept, there's 191 verses in that section or that phrase. And basically, they're comparing, they're showing differences. They're saying this but not that. And so it's just a good study. To really something maybe new in your study in the Word of God, dig into it. And boy, write down, take a lot of notes as you go through it, because there is a lot of stuff in that section of Scripture. But when you look at it in Proverbs 16, and we want to go to verse 27. We're not going to obviously start in 16 and go through all the way to chapter 22 tonight. But in verse 27, it begins, because it starts with, again, the chapter 16 starts with this idea of righteous living, and this talks about the fool and the beginning part of it. And verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before the fall. So it talks about pride, and it talks about the fool and all that he does. Verse 27 says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips there is a burning fire. James said the same thing about the tongue. It was a burning fire. So what did, let's get the minds going. I don't see anybody smoke coming out, so we're okay. Thinking about what does that mean? If Proverbs, Solomon is saying the same thing, but in here he says an ungodly man diggeth up evil. Then he compares it to his lips, there is a burning fire. How would you define it? What do you think when you read that? Okay. Exactly. Somebody who is going to be looking for. Somebody who is going to be sharing things. It's interesting. We're going to see on 20, when we go to 22 or 26, this verse is also correlated with a verse in chapter 26. But someone who is just seeking, someone who is just can't wait to get the dirt and just can't wait to tell people about it. What do we call them? Backbiters? Gossipers, people who just can't wait to share the dirt. They're called ungodly. They're compared to an ungodly person. And there's somebody who I feel the scripture is teaching here is that it's somebody who can't wait to share the dirt because they want to stir the fire. They want to make sure it stays burning. That, to me, when I study through this in James and also through here, it's the fact that his lips, there is a burning fire. He wants to just spread the hot coals to keep the fire going, just to keep it moving, which would cause disunity, which would cause problems, which would always somebody who wants to make sure not everybody gets along. Some people say every family has one. I don't know. But you know those individuals who just want to say, well, did you hear? Or Can you believe? Let's pray for her. All of those phrases begin the next stage of talking about somebody, something, and we glorify it by putting into a prayer. And so when James is referring to the tongue being powerful, being perverse, being deceitful, we think of all the bad things that could be said. We think of all the people, man, I can't believe that guy would say that. That guy would say that. But then when you bring it up in the Proverbs, Solomon's saying, listen, it's just somebody who has a desire to say something. Can't wait. He's got that burning itch to make sure everybody knows. As Jim said, you just failed. You just blew it. There have been many good men destroyed by an accusation. Didn't have to prove it. All you got to do is say it. Absolutely. And that's one of the great, one of the things that I appreciated the most. And you talk about God's timing. In my single years, for 7 years, my secretary was Carol Burrow. And she would not allow me to counsel anybody with my door closed and her door closed. And when I scheduled people, I scheduled them when she was here. She would hear and she would listen and she would understand. And when that person would leave, she'd come to me and say, don't counsel her again. Why? You don't ask men. Anyway, because she's not here for counseling. And she was my safeguard in my single years. And it was a God thing. And so, you know, when you look back over your life, there are certain phases that God brings you through, people in them phases, people in your lives, they come, they go, and it's just amazing. But when God is saying here, it's someone who just can't wait to spread the dirt, somebody who just can't wait to gossip. So, well, what is this gossip thing? How would you define the word gossip? Character assassination, huh? That definitely does that. Absolutely. How else would you define it? Unnecessary evil? I heard somebody. Sure. Just talking about something you're not even sure if it's right or wrong. The news. Anyway. I said that with feeling the tape wouldn't pick it up. Anyway. But when you look at, listen, gossiping is when you mention anyone else that isn't present in the conversation. Period. Could be good, could be evil, could be nat junk, whatever it is. Anytime you talk about someone who is not present in the conversation, it's gossip. Children. Well, kids may be a whole nother sermon. But you know, when you think about that, it's hard because a lot of conversations are about something or somebody or in the workplace or somewhere else. And so it's again, a fine line to be able to talk about things that need to be. And yet at the same time, I think of the board meeting. Sometime in a board meeting, we have to bring up situations. And, you know, how do you stop it from being gossip? Well, they're set in that position for that reason. To protect the church, to protect issues, to protect people. So that has a little bit of play in it, but that even can get out of hand. And so it's interesting when you really think about it, when James goes and says the tongue is perverse, we wouldn't think that we would be as much a part of that as maybe we are. Talking about somebody who isn't there in the conversation. Never forget Joe Wortman. We did a study one time and Joe told me, he said, well, if somebody starts telling me something, I'll say, just wait a minute. I want you to know that I'm going to call them when we're done. Conversation usually ends, right? Nobody talks to you. Even Sue right now. But anyway. But, you know, that's how you stop it. I mean, if you think it's going, if your conversation is going to a point where you think it's going over the line, just say, wait a minute. I'm going to call this person when I'm done here just to verify. And a lot of times you'll end the conversation. Because that person at that moment, according to chapter 16, verse 27, that is an ungodly person. Listen, you can be saved and still be ungodly, right? I believe we can. You never lose them, but you can sure act against them. Peter did when he said, "Get behind me, Satan." And Peter thought he was doing right. So acting ungodly is one of the issues that we need to realize. That's why the tongue is so perverse. That's why the tongue is so difficult to tame, because it's so easy to have that situation. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. There's another area of section of this. And again, we're over the bounds of chapter 22, 16, talking about the righteous living. But this section picked up again on that whole concept of the tongue and the talking, and beginning at verse 18. And it says in verse 26 of chapter 26, Proverbs, verse 18, "As a mad man who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport?" So what does that mean? Again, it's illustrations in the Bible that we need to really put our minds around and try to get a point on and understand them. But this archer, he's actually referred to up in verse 10 of the same chapter. "The great God informed all things, both rewarded the fool and rewardeth the transgressor." So as we begin this phrase coming down through, we see that he's talking about, again, different people, different individuals. The slothful man in 13, "The door turneth on his hinges, so doth the slothful on his bed," and just a lot of illustrations here. But when we see about this man who cast the firebrand arrows, what we're talking about is this archer. To picture someone, now in your mind, there are people out there who love the archery hunt, and I'm one of them. I love the archery hunt. And if I had a regular archer, regular arrow, regular bow, and I was waiting for a deer or whatever to come out and shoot it, you wouldn't think much different. But if the tip of my arrow was on fire, and I'm looking at a big barn, and I'm like, I bet I could hit that. What do you think would happen? You see, in that illustration about an archer with a fiery arrow, is someone basically is nothing more than a troublemaker. Somebody who's willing to whip that arrow into any situation just to heat it up, just to keep the fire going, just to make it a mess. And then he goes on to say that after deceiving his neighbor, tries to avoid the accusation simply. And, you know, I've had this happen to me more times than I really care. When it says in verse 19, "So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport?" And what he is saying is, I'm just joking. Somebody that comes and hammers you and then walks away and says, "Oh, I was just kidding." No, you weren't. No, you weren't. If you have somebody talk like, listen, that is one of the illustrations that Solomon said and James agreed to, the tongue needs to be tamed. Listen, you can't say things in joking, because regardless, the words were out, the effect of those words were out, the damage is done. Oh, I'm just joking. And that's just going to make it all better. But there are some individuals who will do that. They will say what they think and then finish it with, "Oh, you know, I'm just joking. Don't worry about it." And that's exactly what this man was doing. He had the arrow, he had it on fire, and his neighbor, in verse 19, the man deceives his neighbor. "Am I not just for sport? Am I not just having fun doing this? I was just kidding. I wasn't really going to burn your barn down. I wasn't really going to fire this arrow and make things worse for you." And he's saying the same as that, because in verse 20, it says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases." And that word talebearer is a very interesting word. And it's not so much a Hebrew hidden word, but the talebearer word is simply, that's where you get the definition of someone who has an opinion, who is going to tell you their opinion, because their opinion is the only one that matters. And listen, that's a tough one, you know. And guys, you're all going to know this when I say it. And I say it jokingly, but yet it's a serious thing. You know, when your wife comes out and says, "Do I look good in this?" What are you going to do? Bite your tongue. No, I'm just kidding. Your opinion. Sometimes people will give their opinion on, wow, that, you know, did you do something to your hair? Or did you do this? Or did you do that? Or, you know, I'm not sure that looks good on you. Or I'm not sure that is. And listen, that's somebody who has an untamed tongue. And that's somebody that is crushing a heart or crushing feelings that they don't even realize. By stating their opinion, because their opinion is the only one that matters, and they just want you to know. That's not a Christian way of, that's not a spiritual maturity. Now, if you're asked, again, you know, I always say, listen, that it looks good. That it doesn't matter what it looks good. Now, would I let anybody in my family, well, when I had kids, now, Kim, would I let them walk out of the house looking really terrible? No. I would say, listen, maybe we better rethink this. But even the wording in that, you can still say what you need to say. You don't have to say, yeah, you're done. There's no coming back from that one. There are certain things you just don't do. Okay. It's how you say it. That's the whole next phase of that. It's what you're saying now, and then it's how you say what you say in love. You can say anything you need to say in love, but it's how you say it. And so, honest, yes, be honest, say what you need to say when asked. Sometimes I'll be in the hospital and I'll have one of the RNs ask me a question, and I'll say, "Now, this is what you're asking me. Do you really want me to answer that?" They're like, "Yeah, I want to know your opinion." Oh, I give them both barrels. When I get the okay and the green light, they're done. But I don't give it until they ask, until they want to hear it. Now, halfway through, they're saying, "All right, enough, forget it." But at least I get a little bit in there. And that's the way I think we're able to communicate truth and communicate our beliefs into a world and a culture that doesn't understand. Because if you do any other way, if you just walk up to somebody and they just make a statement or they say something and you're coming right down their throat with it, you're done. You lost them. They're not going to ask you anything. So it's how we do it. It's how we approach it and how we handle that process. So here, even as this man is continuing on, that fire, that strife-related, says in at verse 21, as the coals are burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle the strife. Some people just want to keep it burning. Some people just want to, you know, if you've had a broken relationship and you try to mend that relationship, and they just don't want to hear anything you have to say. They won't allow you to forgive them because they are just going to keep throwing things out, keep talking, keep saying things. You know, that comes a point to where we are never told to be doormats as Christians. But there comes a point where you say, "God, I forgive that person in front of you, but God, I'm done with them." And I believe it's okay to walk away from them. I really do, because you can't forgive somebody who doesn't want repentance, who doesn't want the forgiveness. You can't. You can forgive them, get them out of your heart, because bitterness will strive and kill you. Get them out of your heart, but then put them before God. Say, "God, they're all yours. I've done all I can. They refuse it, nothing more I can do." Walk away from them. They become toxic to your spiritual life, and you got to be careful with that. And so, you know, and I'm talking even, listen, James said brothers. He's talking to the Christians about all this. He's talking about their tongue. And as we need to understand how sensitive at times our tongue can just rip through somebody. And at times we're not even maybe aware of it. We just say things and not even thinking. And, you know, that's what we need to be aware of. And that's how I think Solomon is handling this as we look at this concept of it. because it continues to strife, continues as coal and wood are building up the fire. Verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. What's that say? The talebearer words are wounds, and how deep do they go? To the innermost. Scripture is full. When you see about the belly, when you see about the, Paul used that phrase often about the belly, he's talking about it goes as deep as it deep can go. There's no deeper point in a person's life than what this is referred to. And it's the words of a talebearer. Talebearer is someone who gives their opinion, just gives their opinion when it's not asked for. We got to be careful how we address, how we talk, and how we move forward in our conversations. They are innermost parts of the belly, burning lips in verse 23, and a wicked heart are like a post potsherd covered with silver dross. Another great King James language that illustration that is like, what in the world is all about? But again, when you combine a tongue that is already perverse, already evil, with someone's heart that is wicked, it becomes as a pot, or, and that's a pot, it would be a very cheap clay, worth nothing pot covered in silver to do what? To make it look more valuable. And so what he's saying is you're going to get a, even though it looks good, it's a junk pot. That's the same thing as a wicked heart and lips that are, again, the burning lips are the someone who can't wait, has to share, has to know, has to understand. And so in that concept, that evil heart basically tries to disguise the evil and with motives and the characteristics, and basically the one who says what he needs to say and then says, oh, I'm just kidding. Or someone who says everything and then, oh, I'm sorry. You know, how do you get the tongue to slow down? If I give you too much information, it'll be next week's message. But for now, that's the only way to do it. If you see in verse 23 how it says the tongue mixed with the wicked heart causes all these problems, that same tongue can only be tamed by a cleansed heart. And that's what James talks about in the latter part of chapter 3, is the cultivated mind. The mind and the heart that's cultivated toward God. So the closer our relationship with God is, the better the tongue is tamed, because we're able to think through. Maybe we know it. First of all, with anything, you got to acknowledge, okay, I've got a little bit of an issue with this tongue. We all have that little bit of an issue. How do we deal with that? We recognize the problem. We take the problem to God, and we ask for wisdom. As I shared this morning, I pray to everybody, pray that God give me the strength to tame my tongue. And that means, God, help me build a better, closer relationship with you. That's how it's tamed. That's how it's slowed down. And I really believe that, you know, some people have a unbelievable gift just to stop, gone, change. Some people, it's process. And that process, we have to let that process work its way through. So if you've got a desire and a heart to tame the tongue, the first time you let something go, don't ignore the feeling that you feel after that, because you're going to like, I did it again. Recognize that, because that's God saying, wait a minute, I thought we had an agreement here. Okay, let's move on from this one. But remember, we got this agreement. So each time you do it, you'll have that, what I call conviction. You'll have that feeling. You'll have that mindset of, you know, that's probably something I shouldn't have said. Even if it's just telling somebody something about somebody, it's not a bad thing. If you have a desire to tame the tongue, God will convict you when you don't tame it. And that's how you learn the process. Okay, I can't do that. I can't say that. Can't talk about that. And I think that's the relationship builder with God. We'll cultivate that. Ooh. That's pretty good. We'll cultivate that next week as we cultivate the mind. But we'll see how that goes a little bit more in James chapter 3 in the latter part of that. But how important it is for you and I to really understand. in verse 24, it goes on all the way down through, but in verse 24, it says, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. That's the inconsistency we talked about this morning. Why, when you really want someone to hear what you have to say, why would they listen? Because you've got seven other issues already in your heart that you've done, you haven't taken care of. And all of a sudden now you want to try to come clean. And I think of Paul, Saul, at the road to Damascus. When he began, when God changed his heart and Ananias was supposed to go lay his hands on him, Ananias' response is, I think, the concept of this. Are you kidding, Lord? You know who he is? You want me to go to him? And God says, yeah. You see, Paul, Saul, did so many things wrong that when he finally was changed by God to speak the truth, nobody wanted to listen to him. Do you know how true that is in so many testimonies of guys or in gals who are stuck in addictions or stuck in troubles or, you know, have come through? Even you don't even have to go that far into an issue. Just people who don't know God and have a past life and somebody all of a sudden remembers that. And boy, do you know that about this person? Man, you're done. Your tongue just became untamed. And you're acting ungodly, according to Proverbs and according to James. See, sometimes we do the same thing. We don't allow that transition of a heart change with God. And we got to allow that. We got to give grace instead of judgment. We got to give room instead of cookie cutter. And so when we do that, we get into their world a little bit. We encourage them. When we strengthen them to the best that we can. We come alongside them. And then we help bring them where they need to go. So that to me, according to what Scripture is saying here, they're not going to want to believe you even when you do speak truth. Because there's things still in their heart that they have not done. Verse 26 says, who hateth is covered up by deceit, and his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. God will get you back. God, if you go into a relationship and it's broken and the situation and things get ugly and all that kind of stuff, if you just remain faithful to God, God will see to it that their sins are known. God will see to it that that statement, that conversation, what was done, will be made known to the congregation. Listen, that's not you and I standing up and saying, yeah, you all need to know what this person did. No, you're not God. You don't have a right to do that. But when you act like a child of God, James, reaching the want complete, wanting nothing goal in my spiritual life, I've had individuals just absolutely rip me to pieces. And I say nothing. At least not where they could hear. My heart said many things. But I tried to tame the tongue. I fail at that. But sometimes I succeed with that. And in one particular case, I prayed, God, you need to let me see that me being quiet works. And it wasn't long after. The reputation of that individual was slaughtered through the news on this whole different issue. And I'm like, thank you, God. I didn't have to take it. Listen, so many battles belong to the Lord. We don't have to take them on. But we do anyway. We don't need to take them on. We need to remain that Christian that God wants us to remain and that person that he wants us to be. And again, finishes it up with verse 27 and 28. Who diggeth the pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and flattering mouth worketh ruin. And it goes, it just continues. And the concept, and Proverbs is a phenomenal book to see what you don't do and do. And again, that section, as even Ronnie mentioned in chapter 15 prior to that, it's that soft voice. It's that gentle, listen, you, is it okay if I address something with you? ask permission. And if they say, well, depends on what it is, just briefly say, well, this. If they say, no, I don't want to talk about it, then let it go. And please don't go talk about it to anybody else. Because then you've just became the ungodly, untamed tongue. And I really think that there are many, many who have been affected by that, by Christians. Again, James, Solomon, it's all written to people who believe. And so we need to understand that this is obviously a problem in the God's kingdom, or it wouldn't be penned just to them. Because the ungodly, they're going to listen, that's what they do. They're going to be ungodly. They're going to have this and nothing different. So taming that tongue is very difficult. But don't think that your tongue doesn't need tamed because you're not saying all the bad stuff. Because Scripture is very clear. It's the even the interesting stuff, just the little stuff, how you say it, the opinion when nobody asks. That alone is the same thing as an ungodly tongue because it reaches through the depths of the belly. The person is already affected. The hurt is already done. And it's you can't take it back, and we know that. Once the words are out, you can't bring them back. You can't change it. And there's a, you can only say I'm sorry so many times. And I really believe God would allow you and I as Christians to confront somebody who for the 10th time has nailed you and said they were sorry. For me? No, you're not. And I'm done. See ya. You get it right with God, then you come talk to me. Because and if there's not actions behind the word sorry, then they're never sorry. They're using that just to say what they want to say and then walk away. And I think that's sad, but that is what that evil tongue, but coming from the evil heart does. As we shared, we're going to see next week, cultivating that mind and that heart is what changes that tongue. Because the tongue is not controlled by itself. The bridle is controlled by the bit is controlled by the man pulling the reins, which controls the horse. The rudder on a ship controls the ship, but the rudder is controlled by the man running it. And the same with everything about the tongue. Our tongue is controlled by our heart. Our heart is right. Guess what? The tongue stays tamed. And that's the important thing. Any other questions or comments tonight? I wish I had that power because I would do better at it. I want to be as transparent and open. This is something serious because as you talk to people outside churches, not just this church, but any churches, you talk to the younger generations, this topic comes up a lot because of something somebody has told them when they did come or they heard that this person said this about that. It's a huge topic among those who will not step inside the church. And I think it was the same thing in James' life. That's why James addressed it to that group of people. And so we really need to be careful, and more careful than what we can be. But again, it all happens with that relationship and building it stronger. So we need to work on it. We all do. It doesn't matter who we are and how long you've been saved. You still have the ability to have that tongue be ungodly. We all do. Jim? Stops a lot of conversation. Stops a lot of conversation. Oh, okay. So you give them an option to make it right. There you go. Joe gives a little grace in that. But it's, I don't know. Because I've been told things. I've had things said. You've had things said and told. And it's just, it's amazing. It just, how easy it happens. And yet, boy, the devastation that it can create. That's why churches split. That's why issues or relationships and families are so far between and wedges built in. It's simply because of how we respond and how we talk. So the spiritual maturity needs to be seen. Spiritual maturity is a strong relationship with God, and that's seen through how we handle our tongue, how we tame the tongue. Any other comments or questions, statements, anything? Enjoyed the study. So I'm half okay when I just keep them in there. It's what comes out that defiles the guy. But, right, I understand, yeah. That when it comes to a lot of things in our world, it's really hard. It's really hard. Because one of the things we see change happening so fast, and we see the change that is wrong change happening so fast. Think of the kids. Think of the education. Think of what's being forced down their throats. Think about what's being forced down everybody. And we just want to grab onto and put our feet in the mud and stick it there. No change because we're afraid of what it might come to. But we're not going to stop that change. We can only stand up and not let it change us. We are not put on this earth to change the world. We're put on this earth to exemplify Christ. He'll change the world when he wants to. We're just to represent him in the process. And that's hard because sometimes we just want to stand up and shout, stand up and scream. And it's very difficult, but it all comes from the heart. That's the key. We'll transition into that next week. Anything else? All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. And God, I pray as we continue to ponder it, continue to understand it, we do so in a way that just allows us. And God, this is something that we all know that we need to work on a little bit. And Father, you're not after perfection. You're just after a desire of change. And God, you will help in that process. Either give us that conviction when we do say something or when we do talk. And God, that you'll help us in that process. And Lord, if we are going to talk about somebody, may it be only words of encouragement. May it only be words that will edify and strengthen. And God, teach us the difference between that. And we just thank you and praise you. May we give us safety as we all travel tonight. In your son's name, amen. Thank you. You're